Once upon a time, there was a young man, and he was driving his car. That would have been simple enough. It's just that he was driving his car in the dark, late at night. That would have been okay. It's just that he was driving his car in the dark, late at night, on roads that were already very, very icy. It had been snowing for days and days round there, and there was so much snow it was everywhere, blanketing the whole world in a thick coat of white snow. And driving on the roads, well, it was the kind of thing that most people wouldn't do if they were sensible. Most people would just stay at home, but he wasn't that sensible, this young man, and he was out there driving when really he shouldn't have been. Now, this would have been bad enough. It's just that the snow was now falling even thicker and faster than ever. So fast, in fact, that he had his windscreen wipers on, but it didn't seem to make much difference. There was a torrent of snowflakes just falling against his windscreen, so much so that he really didn't quite know where he was going. And so at one point, the road that he was on, it lurched steeply downhill. Started going so steep that at one point he just lost control of the car. The wheels slid and the car went sliding down that steep road until, boom, it went into a bank. A bank that was covered in snow, and a tree that was there just showered his car in snow, and the young man, he had a bump on the head, and he looked around him and all he could see was the snow still falling. He thought to himself, I'm going to freeze here. I need to go and find somewhere I can warm up. So he gets out of the car and he walks down the road a bit, and he could hardly see anything, but right down there he sees a little bit of a light shining down there in the valley. He thinks, well, that must be a house. I'll go to it, see if they can help me. And so he's walking through the snow, and it's up to his knees, and it's snowing all around him, and the snow's getting everywhere, into his jacket, down his neck, into his cuffs. He could hardly keep himself going. He's so cold. But as he gets closer to that light, why, he sees more and more clearly what it is. And it's very strange looking. There's a house there, but it's very tall and very thin and kind of crooked looking. And when he comes up to the door, it's a very tall, thin, crooked looking door. And he pounds on the door with his fist. And when he waits and listens, he hears someone coming. And when finally the door opens with a creaking handle and a creaking hinges, there behind the door, there's a very crooked-looking, tall, thin, old lady who stares at him over her long nose and her pointed chin and said, "Go away!" And she slams the door, kaboom, in his face. And he just stands there. He can hardly believe it. It's a snowy night, and every living creature needs somehow to get warm. And that includes him. And yet there the old woman, she just slammed the door in his face. He can hardly believe it. He's about to bang on the door when, quite to his surprise, the door opens again. And the old woman standing there with a fierce look in her eyes, she said, "Oh, well, come in then." So in he goes. In he goes. She slams the door after him. And her kitchen is lovely and warm and safe and cosy. He's quite surprised, because it's a lot more cosy than she feels, but she's already bustling over by the stove and she's making him a pot of tea. She says, "You'll be having something to eat then?" He says, "Well, I wouldn't say no, it's kind of cold out there." "Well," she said, "here's some soup." And she pushes a bowl of soup under his nose and she gives him a big pot of tea, and he's warming up pretty quickly now. Warming up and wolfing down that nice warm soup and slurping the lovely hot tea. But before he knows what's quite happening, it's a bit too late. Because that soup and that tea, and maybe it's just the warmth of the kitchen that's making him all very sleepy. It's making him all very sleepy, and his eyelids are getting very, very heavy, and his back is bending like a banana, and his head is drooping, and he can hardly keep himself awake until, boom, his head hits the table. And the old woman, why, she takes a big knife and she chops him up into 100 pieces. And she takes the pieces up onto the roof and she feeds them to the crows. Feeds them to the crows, and the crows come down and they greedily gather up all the pieces and they fly up into the sky. And so now he's inside 100 crows flying up into the sky. And he's looking down and he's seeing all the snow falling around and saying to himself, doesn't that look beautiful? All the snow falling around me. And he's not thinking, I must be dead. He's just thinking, wait, I'm inside 100 crows. How's that? And they fly up higher and higher until those crows, they pierce the clouds. Until now, there's no snow anymore because all the snow is beneath them. And it's clear and bright and there's a moon up there and it's so, so beautiful. And he's thinking to himself, I never saw such a lovely sight. But then, out of the night, down from the stars, there comes a band of angels. A band of angels so brilliant and so bright, they look like tiny stars. But as they come closer and closer, he sees they have wings and they are shining and they gather up all the crows in the folds of their cloaks and they fly up, up, away with them to the stars. And so now, he's flying through space with 100 angels and 100 crows all wrapped in the folds of their cloaks. And he's gazing at the stars and he's thinking, I never saw anything so lovely as this. Who ever thought I could see the stars so close? But the angels, in their enthusiasm, they fly too close to the stars. And the stars burn their wings and draw them in closer. And now they can't fly so well, and the stars pull in the angels and gobble them up. And now he's burning in the heart of 100 stars, burning and burning in the heart of the stars, and is thinking to himself, I never believed I could do such a thing. I never believed I'd live to feel such a wonder. But then something happens. Someone clears his throat. Ahem. And it's God, he realizes. It's God up there, coughing and sneezing. And the stars are convulsing. The stars are getting ready to sneeze. And he's thinking, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen? And the sneeze is so loud that he wakes himself up, sitting there in his car where he bumped his head, sitting there in the cold with the windscreen wiper still going, wishty washty, wishty washty, wishty washty, wishty washty, wishty wash, on his windscreen. And he's thinking to himself, did I just have a dream? Was that real? Did I just have a dream? Ugh. And he picks himself up and he gets out of the car and he stands up in the road and he looks down and he sees there's a nice friendly house there and he goes there. And I do believe that he got something nice to eat, but it didn't send him to sleep. I do believe the people were friendly and they gave him a bed for the night. I do believe he had a nice dream, but no dream he could ever have would be quite as wild and wonderful as the dream he'd just had.